Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about creating a design or a vision for your life? Would you like to learn more about how to de-stress your life? Wouldn't we all? Have you ever wanted to know about how to dive in, take action, and get going? Can you imagine not living a life that is stressed out or a life that is overwhelmed? Tell me, do you know what action steps you need to take to go forward with your life right now, today? Have you ever heard about a website called dayoflove.org? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to take the stress out of your life? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful, inspirational lessons, information, and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk and Blog Talk Radio. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you about our guest today. She is the founder of Connecting LLC, a leadership development company, a certified trainer. She's a spirited, inspirational speaker and a best-selling author. She's worked with leaders, entrepreneurs, and everyday people for over a decade, training thousands of individuals to connect internally, raise their self-worth, and aspire to great success. My guest has persevered through a traumatic brain injury, death of family members, murder of friends, and the collapse of a family business. She found unstoppable momentum with three simple principles and now teaches those principles in her programs, books, and shares those with all of her audiences. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show for this first time, Kelly Frazier. Hi, Kelly. How are you today?
Hi, January. Thank you so much. I'm very, very blessed. Thank you. I am delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you on the show. I've looked forward to this interview. You know, your life sounds like one amazing event after another. Can you tell us a little bit about your childhood and what life was up like for you growing up and who your early mentors were?
Well, childhood growing up was rather interesting. I came from a very low to moderate income family, and we definitely had our rocky road. My dad was pretty much an alcoholic. My mom did not know how to cope with that, and she had six children to raise.
Oh,
but
wow.
One thing that they they had offered us was a chance to pour our lives into music. So, Jenny, do you remember like when the Jackson 5 got to be big?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Well, yeah, the Grattan 6 were at that same time trying to come up through and I guess supposedly finding their own success throughout the New England states. And to a degree, we did, but a very small one in comparison to that. So my mentors actually became women within my church. I was the only one out of six children who did not want to sing on stage. So every single time I would get up on stage, all I would do was shake like a leaf and look at my chair where I just came from, praying that I would just hurriedly get back there as soon as we were done.
Uh-huh.
So it's interesting because this actually came up today in a mastermind conversation that I was having with my mentors in my group. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty fascinating. But that was my background, was where I came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, too, that you were reluctant to go on stage as a child, but now as an adult, that's something you do to make a living. And it seems like this now has become your passion, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. The only difference is I'm not singing to do it. And I think that was probably the biggest difference there.
That sounds great. Now, let's talk a little bit about the traumatic white light experience and the brain trauma that you went through. You were in an accident?
Well, what happened was in the beginning of 2007, I had an 18-year-old nephew that had contacted me in the end of 2006, just talking to me about wanting to come to school. And I was absolutely thrilled that he wanted to come to school in Michigan where I lived, and he was in Vermont at the time. And he said to me one day, because Aunt Kelly, all I want to do is just make a difference. He goes, I don't care if it's bending over to tie a five-year-old shoe. I don't care what it is. I just want to make a difference in people's lives. Now, I was so impressed by that, January, because for a 17-year-old kid to say he wants to make a difference, there's some influence there, you know, and
yeah,
I just found that very powerful. But a couple months later, I got a call from his mom, who was my little sister, and she said that he had drowned in an accident, a boating accident.
Oh, my God.
So it was just devastating for us, for all of us, of course. And I traveled, you know, from Michigan to Vermont to go to his funeral services and to, you know, kind of help his mom through because she was a cancer survivor at that time. Well, a couple months later, I ended up getting another phone call from her telling me that her cancer was back, and if she went into the hospital, she was probably not coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we buried her, too, just a few months later. So that was very difficult, very challenging to kind of, you know, travel back and forth and help her through that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I was trying to run our family business back home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you've ever had to do that long distance or not, but that's very challenging.
Oh,
so
I can imagine.
I'm getting to your question, but it's kind of taking a long way around because it all
take
has
your
a
time.
Lot to do with it.
Yeah, take your time.
As we were trying to work through the deaths in the family, plus keep the business alive, I had hired a secretary, and you know she was helping as best she could, and my husband was back home trying to raise our daughter, who was just you know, early teen at that time, plus go to work. You know, it was just really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came back home, he had had it. He was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Oh, wow.
Not only had I experienced great loss that way, but now I'm faced with my husband who wants to leave. And I'm just going, how is this possible? So I worked through all of that using the techniques that I'll be sharing with you tonight. But when I got to this place where I felt like life was settling down, this is when the accident occurred.
Oh.
So at the end of that year, when I thought everything was going well, bam, I end up taking this massive blow to the head through just, it was kind of a silly accident. I was racing to try to get out of an office and pick up my daughter before I was late, and it was black ice in Michigan at that time.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I, ran around the corner to get in my car, and both feet went out from underneath me.
Oh.
Now, I remember one thing and one thing only. As I was going back, I remember saying the words, Jesus, save me. That was the only thing that I could think to say. And when I hit, it was literally the loudest explosion I'd ever heard in my life. So I knew that I had been knocked out. There was not a single soul in the parking lot, and nobody in that church, which is where I had come from, the pastor was interviewing me to see if he wanted to hire me, and I wasn't interested. But so as I'm sitting there coming to, I literally see these stars in my eyes, which I thought was only like a cartoon. I did not know that was actually real. So I'm seeing all of this, and I get up very slowly. And January, the funny part about this whole thing was, the only place that I did not feel pain radiating in my body was like about a quarter-sized circle on my left ankle. And why that stands out, I have no idea, but it was very significant at the time. So anyways, I go to all these, you know, doctor's appointments, and they do all of their tests. They take all of their scans and, you know, give me all kinds of great advice. But finally said, "We're sorry, Mrs. Fraser, there's not a lot we can do. We don't know how to help the situation." So what I was experiencing at that time were complete blackouts for hours, sometimes even days.
Wow.
I had paralysis on my right side on occasion. I could not carry the conversation the way you and I are carrying it now. I would walk away from a stove, leaving burners on. And so there was a great amount of suffering that was going on.
Now, Kelly, let's just back up a little bit. When you fell on the back of your head. Is that what hit the ice?
That is correct. I landed on the front part of the top part of my spine and the brainstem.
Oh, wow. Now, were you unconscious? How long were you unconscious, do you know, in the parking lot?
I truly don't know. I do know that I was, but I have no idea how long I was there for. The only way that I could measure it was that I was extremely late picking up my daughter. Like, they had already brought her into the school, and, you know, that was the only way I could measure it.
Okay. And do you have any memory of who came to help you, or how you left there, or how you got to the hospital? Do you have any memory of what happened after you fell?
I certainly do. This is crazy, and I would not recommend this to anybody, but I actually got myself up with the help of my vehicle, and I got myself in that car, and I actually drove. I cannot believe I did that, but that is exactly what happened. But by the time I got to where I was to go, that was the last time I drove. There wasn't me driving after that.
That's, you know, that's the mother's instinct to go get your child or to keep going. And a lot of times, obviously, you were in traumatic shock. And so you were functioning without really knowing what you were doing. Okay, so now that you've had this horrific, horrific experience, and then you were sent to, were you sent immediately to the hospital, or did that come later?
That actually came later, because I figured, well, actually everybody figured, if I drove myself home, that wouldn't have been that bad, right? What actually started to happen was, like, I remember the doctor specifically, my husband had taken me to the hospital, and I had remembered the doctor asking me specifically to count backwards from 100. And I didn't even know where 100 was, and I said to him, "Well, could you please start it? I'm asking him to start counting for me." And when I got to saying, I said 100, and then I went to 5. And I remember that very clearly, because he just looked at me and he kind of smiled and he said, "I think we have a problem here."
You know, this is a fascinating story, and we're going to take a break now and hear from some of my sponsors. And when we come back with Kelly Fraser, we're going to hear a little bit more about her traumatic brain injury and how it enabled her to see the white light. And then we're going to talk about how to handle stress and get de-stressed in our life. We'll be right back with Kelly Fraser.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced 4 times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
Welcome back, and I want everyone out there listening to know that Pam Evans' book, Ring Exchange, is a fantastic book, and it'd be a great book to give someone at Valentine's Day. Also, Dale Bruner will be back on the show next week with his Feel Good, Good News, and so he's always an inspiring guest. We're back today with our guest, Kelly Frazier, and she was sharing with us an accident she had falling on black ice. You know, Kelly, I grew up in Michigan, and I really know when you say black ice what you're talking about. And then after she fell, she had a traumatic brain injury. And then would you tell us what happened that led up to your white light experience?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I ended up having seizures on a daily basis, and mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody knows what a seizure actually feels like or what it can actually do to you neurologically, but it literally would paralyze my right side, and I would become extremely exhausted for not just an hour, but for days on end. And so I was pretty much bedridden when I wasn't up and out, you know, trying to make life work. Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter actually became my caregiver. That was probably the hardest thing ever for me, January, because that's just not something a parent wants to have happen, you know?
Right.
So 6 months after this accident occurred, I'm laying in bed one night, and I was having a cognitive moment, because there were those moments where I was cognitive and I could speak to people, just mm-hmm. not always intelligently. but one night I'm laying there, and I remembered what I had said before I hit the pavement, you know? And so I just said, okay, God, if this is what it's going to be like for me tomorrow morning, I said, I know you can heal me. I don't know why you haven't, but I know you can. So if this is what it's going to be like when I wake up tomorrow morning, I don't want to wake up. I wasn't suicidal and I wasn't depressed. I was just exhausted, and I did mm-hmm. not want to see my family continue to have to be my caregivers. Mm-hmm. And so I went to sleep that night. I slept very, very soundly. And when I woke up the next morning, I remember my shoulders and my head being up, sort of upright on my headboard, which was very odd because I don't know how I ended up that way. Uh-huh. And I started to open my eyes, and I see at the foot of my bed this bright white light. Uh-huh. And it wasn't like a pinpoint. It was as if something you would see on a lighthouse. And I remember thinking, okay, well, this is my brain just playing tricks on me. So I go to sit up, and now I'm realizing, oh, my gosh, there's no pain. What in the world, you know? And now I'm touching myself. I'm touching my chest. I'm touching my face and my neck. And I'm like, I've got to be dreaming, you know? You didn't know if this was real or not. Mm-hmm. So to prove that I was actually awake even further, I swung my legs down around the side of the bed, which was ultimately very difficult for me to do. And again, there was no pain.
No pain.
So now I'm looking at my bedroom window, and I'm going, oh my goodness, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm just elated, and I wanted to get up and run through my house and just scream to my husband and my daughter, I'm healed, you know. But instead, I heard inside of me instead, be still.
Be still.
And so I just sat there. And as I was sitting there, I began to just thank God for every little thing, every big thing, everything I could think of, including the little tiny pencil that was sitting on my nightstand as I turned mm-hmm. and looked at it. But then I started looking out the window, realizing, I'm like, wait a minute. If the sun hasn't come up yet, which it was pitch dark out my window, there's light coming from, and the minute I had that thought, I turned to the left to look, and bam, that light was gone.
It was gone.
And then I felt so sad, because if you only knew how much love and life was in that room at that moment, it was just the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. not anywhere near that. And so to understand the depth of that kind of love that was in that room was something I wanted to hang on to forever. You know?
Forever. Uh-huh.
So,
and so many people who have shared this white light experience definitely say the same thing, that they want to stay in it forever. They're so sad when it's over. But it is, did you feel connected to the universe, to the spirituality, to God? How did you feel when it was all over and you sat back and thought about it?
Yeah, that is a great question, because I remember very specifically as I was sitting there just still being grateful. I continue to be grateful. All of a sudden, I see these images in my mind that I was an author, I was a speaker, and I was meeting people from all around the world. This was what was happening in my head. Now, you have to understand the ridiculousness of these thoughts, because
yeah.
I could not stand public speaking, and I was not a writer of any sort.
Uh-huh.
So this was like totally out of my league, you know?
Yeah.
all I could do was say, how in the world is any of that supposed to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then inside my spirit, I hear, trust me.
Oh, okay.
So from that moment, that's when, even though that love and that light and everything was gone, I still felt that presence there with me. And it's never left me since then, never. And it's just the most incredible thing. And so that's why when I saw that you were doing a show like this, I was mm-hmm. just like, you know, I get it. I understand what people are talking about, January, when you just described what you did, that people feel that love and that light and want to stay connected.
Well, you know, the reason I've been doing these shows is that many years ago, I also myself personally experienced the white light. And just like you, I didn't want it to end. I was very sad when it was over, but it confirmed to me the reality that there is more than just this existence, that when you pass over to the other side, you have a chance to go into the white light. And unless you've experienced it, it's very hard to explain, isn't it?
It is. It is. It took me a long time, actually, to kind of wrap my brain around my story to be able to share it with other people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have to be in a life and death situation to experience the white light. You can, as you were very depressed and very down, and a lot of times the white light comes to people who are, you know, at the bottom of the barrel. They're trying to dig their way out, and it's and I love the message, be still and trust me. Now, do you still see the white, did it happen just one time or has it happened again?
That particular white light experience only happened that one time, but that feeling, that love, and that connectedness has never left me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's interesting. And so then when it was over, you had this internal message to become an author, a speaker, and
yeah.
This is for a poor girl who was just barely getting out of bed from brain trauma. What did you do next?
Well, I knew from that experience that I was going to be fine, especially if those were the things that I was seeing in my mind, which to me seemed like it was a future thing, you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I told my husband, I said, no more doctor's appointments, no more medications, no more
uh-huh.
physical therapy, no more nothing.
Uh-huh.
I will be healed. I feel healed already. And he just kind of looked at me like, what? You know, and I told my daughter the same thing. And my daughter was so excited for me, you know, and she said,
uh-huh.
well, Mom, that's just amazing. You know, well, what are you going to do now? And I'm, you know, like, of course I wanted to be smart and say, I'm going to Disneyland. You know, but I was so, so elated. And the first thing that I ended up doing was I got a phone call from this friend of mine. And she told me that there was a guy who was teaching about how to have teleseminar calls, which could lead into being a radio show host.
Uh-huh.
So I listened. His name was Alison Andosian, and he became my very first coach and mentor. Now,
uh-huh.
he's also very much into the marketing scene, which I was not, but I knew that he could teach me skills that I actually needed in order to become, you know, to the position that I'm at today. So I went ahead and did his course, but being one that it was still healing, keep in mind, you know, and this is what everybody says, well, weren't you completely healed after the white light? The answer was no, and I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
I had doubted. I doubted and I doubted and I doubted. And every single time you doubt, you're going to cut off whatever blessings that you have acquired or achieved because of the doubt. So I learned early on to stop doubting and to start changing the belief systems that I had in my head about, you know, not measuring up, not being good enough, and all those different kinds of things. I knew that those things had to change and disappear. So that was when I really started to step out. And that was in 2008, at the end of 2008. So 2009, 2010, I just kept learning from all these different leaders. And I didn't go to, it's so funny, January, because I didn't learn from people who were just a step above me. I learned from people who were multi-millionaires, you know. Those were the people that I kept connecting with.
Well, that's wonderful because, you know, if you're trying to go forward, let's face it, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You need to be smart enough to lock in some good mentors and follow their advice. We're going to hear from sponsors. And when we come back with Kelly Frazier, we're going to share her website information. We're going to talk a little bit about her action plan, her power action plan. She's going to share a little, tell us about the three simple steps to design, de-stress, and dive into your life. We'll be right back with Kelly Frazier.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back with my guest, Kelly Frazier. I want to share with everyone that Tom Ingracia and Jared Kaminsky are going to be guest hosts on my show next Wednesday, and they'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman, Ken McDonald, who is featured in their book. Welcome back with another priceless personality, Kelly Frazier. Kelly, could you share your website information and tell my listeners how they can get your book and become learn more about your program?
You bet. Well, thank you for that opportunity. And, you know, one thing that I did not yet touch on is the vision, power, and action plan that I was able to implement in my own life to be able to really, you know, propel me to where I'm at. But it really, truly did not come from me directly. This is something that it was kind of like the download from God as far as I was concerned. And I just, I kept writing. Everything I was hearing, I just kept on writing. And it became this vision, power, and action plan to create healing and restoration. And that's truly where that came from. So the website, if you want to know what that looks like, I do have a free download PDF on there, and you can download that, or you can also listen to 3 videos that I describe in detail how to have vision, internal power, and then how to take action on what you hear. So that is dayoflove.org. is where you can find that free information. And then if you wanted to go even further and really understand to grasp everything that I've been through and everything that you yourself might have gone through and how you can change everything that occurs, that you just look for a tab on that website that says offer, and you'll see all the information there of where you can just move into a greater sense of being, a greater sense of purpose for your life.
Fantastic. Now let's talk a little bit about the vision. Powerfully focus on what you desire to attract in your life and keep more of it. When you started this, you just how long did it take you to write this? How long did it take for you to get going on this vision power action plan?
Well, because I took a 2.5 year sabbatical with God, mm-hmm. I just stopped listening to pastors and preachers and friends and family, and I just listened to God. So mm-hmm. everything I did, I would ask a question, and then just like I heard, trust me, inside my spirit, I kept hearing those types of conversations, and I just kept writing them down. So vision, power, and action actually came out of that conversation over several, I would say several months. So vision in itself is one of the greatest things that you can give yourself, because here's what people think, that the universe or God is not interested in our desires, and that's just not true. Definitely figure out what it is that you would love to see happen in your life. And I'm sure, January, you've had people who have asked this question a million times over. What if money were no object? If you could do anything that you would love to do in your life, you know, and they go on and on. What would that one thing be? And it could be that somebody's told you you're fantastic at a certain thing. Well, maybe that's what it is that you're passionate about. That's what vision becomes. It becomes that thing or that incredible talent or skill or gift that you have. When you focus on that vision, that's what really spurs your why behind what you do and how you can keep doing it.
Well, you know, that is so true, because we've talked so much on this show since it deals with success, and we talk so much about finding your passion. And I think when you find your passion, all of a sudden what you're doing doesn't become work. It becomes your passion. It becomes your pleasure. And so many times when your passion is of service to others, it's even more potent, isn't it?
Oh, completely. Every day that I get up, I'm so exhilarated. I don't want to get my day started. And that's so opposite from what most people live, because I lived in the corporate world. I worked for nonprofits too, and it was not like that. It was drudgery a lot of times. So I totally get that. Yeah.
So you wake up every day excited about what you do, and I feel the same way myself. Now let's talk about power. Internal power is the only way to gain control over your own thoughts and have faith enough to believe anything is truly possible. How do people get to that place in life? Because everyone, so many people have doubts and they're unsure and they're nervous about going forward. How do they develop and work on that internal power?
Right. Well, there's two different answers to that, and it just depends. If you don't believe in higher power, then there is a way that you can do it, and that is by changing your physical state, your focus, and then your language. And Tony Robbins actually teaches a lot about this. And what he means by changing your physical state, you can actually snap in and out of depression very easily just by commanding it to happen. And I know that just sounds ridiculous to those people who've been depressed forever, that they're saying, of course I would want to snap out of it. But there is a way, and this is something that I teach too, that you can't do it just by merely changing your physical state, what you focus on in your brain, and how you speak about it from that point forward. Now, the flip side of that, as a spiritual person, you spend that time with God, and the only way you can do that, truly do it, and release the stress from your life, you've got to shut off the thoughts that are going off in your head. For me, and this is how I was taught, that you sit very, very quietly, and you breathe very deeply. And if we don't recognize the power of our breath, it's because we don't understand that when we're born, if you believe this way, that when you're born, that it is our breath that makes us come alive, you know, initial breath that we're born with. So that breath is what stills the mind. And it's just sitting very quietly, breathing very deeply at the count of four, and you hold it at the count of four, and you release it at the count of four. And you do that over and over again until the thoughts that are just going spastic in your mind just settle down completely, because now you're no longer concentrating on those. You're listening to your breath. And there you can connect with that internal power that you have, and you start asking questions, and you get answers. But people don't understand that. You have to be still in order to hear the power of your spirit.
Oh, this is so powerful and so wonderful. And I'm so pleased that you address the situation for people who don't have a spiritual belief of a higher power. A lot of people are still in doubt about that, and it's difficult for them to accept that. People who have the spiritual belief, this would be a much easier process. But for other people, it's very difficult. And this meditation with the breath exercise is a very concrete, positive thing that people could do. I really am happy to hear about that. Now let's talk about action. This is where the rubber meets the road. You either do it or you won't do it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Yeah.
All right, so one morning, January, you just stop me if I go on because I don't want to run over time, but one morning I was laying in bed, and at 4 a.m., which is typically when I am awake, I hear, "What are you afraid of?" And I was like, "What am I afraid of? I don't feel afraid of anything." And I rolled over and I tried to go back to sleep. I heard it a second time. "What are you afraid of?" I heard it a third time before I finally paid attention to it. And this time I said, "Okay, what am I afraid of?" And suddenly a ton of things started coming, shooting at my brain, like all these different things I'm afraid of, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of your rejection. I mean, you name it, and I had it. So finally I was like, "Okay, what do you want me to do with all these fears? I don't want these anymore." And I heard, "Release them." So I did. I pretended they were all this huge ball, and I just let it go from my mind, and it was gone. And once that occurred, that's when I'd heard, "Stop doing business and create a day of love."
A day of love,
like,
okay.
What? How in the world am I supposed to do that? What does that look like? Now, I was making thousands of dollars online. I was, you know, at that point writing books and speaking, and I'm like, "Stop doing business and create a day of love." That just doesn't make sense. So here I'm asked to do an action, one that I did not want to do.
Uh-huh.
In January, when I listened, I heard, "Just talk about it." That was all I was supposed to do. I was just to talk about it. Well, that was December of 2012, and by January and February, there was an entire team of people who were sponsoring me, people were coming out of the woodwork to help me to stay at love, and it was a live event is what it's going to culminate to, is a live event, and I am absolutely thrilled. But see, without taking action on what you hear when you get very still, you question and you doubt, and it is completely cut off, because I did that. I doubted all the way through that last year. And because of that, my blessings were cut off. And I recognized it, and I said, "Okay, I'm going to listen again. I'm going to get back out there and take action and start talking again." And when I did, I became back in alignment with what God was asking me to do, and I did it. And it's just been the most amazing journey. I just can't even tell you.
Oh, it sounds very exciting. We're going to talk more about a day of love when we come back after we hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Kelly Frazier.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play in well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Both Nick Hazel and I are members of AATH, and I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful organization, and it's a place where you can be of service. We're back with Kelly Frazier, and we're talking about, she had this message to start talking about Day of Love, a live event. Now, what do you see as the greatest outcome of this, and when is this going to take place?
Well, we don't have all the details just yet, so it's constantly evolving. But uh-huh. what we do know is that it will take place in Greenville, South Carolina, and it will be in November. Probably the very first weekend in November is what we're looking at. And the interesting thing about it is that it was less about that event itself and more about what I saw, which was just literally thousands of women in the circular room just feeling so much joy, almost like that same morning when I saw the white light. It was like that. That's mm-hmm. what they were experiencing. And mm-hmm. so throughout this whole process, I've been shown how to teach about the Day of Love. In fact, a great example is last week. I had a call from one of the mentees that I work with in Greenville. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of volunteer work, and so I was volunteering to help this group of young people. And he called me, and he was crying. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I was just diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of my lungs, wow. and I don't know what to do." So immediately I get in this, you know, this download of it's a day of love time, you know. So mm-hmm. I get into action, and I absolutely create this day of love. And what it consists of is 4 hours of me going into their homes or they're coming to mine, and I'm uh-huh. teaching them how to create a better, healthy system. So I do a lot of juicing. So uh-huh. a lot of people who are ill, they, you know, they tend to do a lot of juicing because they know that the juice goes directly to their cells and can create a much greater immune system. So uh-huh. it's the physical side, the health side. It's the spiritual side. So I teach them the vision, power, and action plan. And mm-hmm. then I also teach them about finances or parenting. So whatever it is that a specific person or couple or family needs, that's what I put together. So I do an assessment and I put together a day of love for them. And that is just the most incredible thing for me. It's the most fulfilling, and it's also very financially lucrative when, you know, you're working with people who are at a level that can afford it and they want to do it before they end up in any kind of a desperate situation. So, mm-hmm. you know, it is amazing to me when God said stop doing business and create a day of love. January, I had no clue that this was going to become what it is today, you know.
Oh, what a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing it. And for any of our listeners who want to find out more about Day of Love, you just go to www.dayoflove.org and you can check it out and see what it's all about and what's happening there. Now, how does your family handle your clear connection, your spiritual connection to God? Are they okay with it?
You know, it's so funny that you asked that question. My husband was just telling me last night, he said, "You know, honey, sometimes I just really wonder." And I totally get that. I totally get that. I said, "Sweetheart, if shoes were on the other foot, I would do the same. I would completely wonder what's going on too." Because you can never tell. Like if I wake up one morning and I'm hearing something and I begin to act on that, uh-huh. the people that are, it's like a domino effect. And if I chose not to act on that, the healing, the inspiration, whatever it is, if I did not act on it, it would not happen. So mm-hmm. here comes this dichotomy where you have your husband who's saying, "This is a little woo-woo," or "This is a little weird," you know. And
yeah.
then you've got on the other side of that, you have all these people who are going, "I never would have survived without this. I just cannot believe how you've changed my business or you changed my life or whatever." So I said to him, "Sweetheart, could you just accept the fact that all these other people are being helped even though you don't quite understand it?" Mm-hmm. And that's when he can say, yeah, I totally get that. And I'm in full support of it because I just don't understand it when it comes on a personal level, you know, which I can appreciate.
Now, before we go, what is the number one piece of advice that you could give our listeners, something that they could do the next 30 days to create change, transformation in their lives?
Yeah, great question. First thing I would suggest is go to dayoflove.org and really look at the download PDF there. And if you like what you see, then opt in for the free videos that you're going to get. They're free. You're obligated under no circumstances for anything else. But
okay.
I do believe with all my heart that that is the best thing you can do. Learn how to create your own vision, power, and action plan.
Okay. And the videos are free. What a wonderful gift. Before we go, Kelly, when you look back on your life, and it's been quite an interesting success story you've shared with us, what does success mean to you today, and do you have any regrets?
Not a single regret, January. Not a single one. And I would say that it truly just comes down to seeing people healed and restored in their lives in every way, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally.
Okay. Did you ever think you would become a healer?
No, not in your life. No, never. It was so far from my mind, you know?
Yeah. And then and then becoming a best-selling author and inspirational speaker, sometimes you must just pinch yourself and find it hard to believe, isn't it?
Yes, completely. And so deeply, deeply grateful. And I think my love for people just it just compounds that feeling of fulfillment and success, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we stress, and this is why it's so wonderful to have you on the show today sharing your success story, because other people need to hear success stories. It's something that anyone can do. It's something I think the key here is finding something you're passionate about. Don't you agree?
Oh, I completely agree. And January, can I also say you inspire me? And I just am amazed at the things that you've accomplished and done in your lifetime, too, and how you are not afraid. You are so bold in the people that you help and serve, and I value that tremendously. So thank you for your work.
Well, how sweet of you to say that. It's interesting. I've just had this career that's blossomed as I've gotten older, and who would have thought? You know, I thought I was going to retire, play golf, and eat chocolate, but now all of a sudden I've got a career, and I'm going, what am I doing here? But, you know, you have to just wake up every day and take it as it comes. And sure. Kelly Frazier, it has been fantastic having you on the show. I've enjoyed sharing you with our listeners, and I hope you will come back many, many times in the future.
Oh, thank you so much, January. It was my absolute pleasure.
To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Kelly. Isn't she amazing? My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Kelly, and they will amaze, amuse, and astonish you. This is the show where you will hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Kelly Frazier. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.